Hello, everyone. I hope you like the things we're going to say.
Yeah, we are Lee and Herring here on 1FM with 1 hour of chat. We've got some great music and some rubbish music as well.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel.
This download is brought to you by www.bestoffun.net.
And now, live from outer space, it's the Lee and Herring Show, the first ever British lightweight radio comedy show to be broadcast live from outer space.
Hello. Hello! I am Stuart Lee.
And my space name is Star Admiral Richard Space K. Herring.
Space K. Yeah. Herring, yeah. And in honour of the launch of the outer space film Star Trek this week,
yeah.
The new outer space Star Trek
space.
Film, and also of that British bloke who's in outer space,
yeah.
This week we're coming to you live from outer space.
Yeah, look at the Earth, Stu.
It's
planet
like
Earth.
The moon, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. We're on board the space shuttle ZX81 Spectrum.
X.
And the view up here is absolutely amazing.
It's incredible, that's right. This is a very historic occasion, listeners. No lightweight radio comedy show has ever been broadcast.
Stu, stop,
what?
Look, red alert. Danger, the space star ant-men from moon are attacking. We must save planet Earth. Man the star laser.
All right, get his antennae, shoot him.
Bang,
shoot him in the leg. Get in.
Space laser. Sorry, I'm late. Sorry. Shit. Pete, you've just have you just come in from outer space?
No, outer side. Sorry, I'm late. The man on the door said that I stunk too much and I couldn't come in the BBC.
We're not in the BBC, we're in outer space.
Rich, there's no point, really, now persisting with this futile charade. Pete has blown it with one single go.
Sorry.
Yeah, we were going to do an hilarious parody of Star Trek with all the names of the characters slightly changed. You know, like, Captain Kirk would be Captain Burke, and Scotty, Spotty. People saying, like, you know, fist me up, Scotty.
Yeah, and we were going to do a bit about pointing out how there's, like, always one bloke, isn't there? Always one bloke. He goes down to the planet with the main characters, and you've never seen him before. Have you never seen him before? And he's always the one who gets killed, isn't he? Like all other comedians have ever done.
Yeah, never mind. Turn the Space FX off now, Chris, and play the first record, Chris.
Sorry, everyone.
You idiot. I love those Star Trek parodies. You have Uhuru, it would be Lou Uhuru.
Right.
Chekhov would be Chekwi.
This is Kevin Salem. He used to be in Dump Truck from his new solo album, Soma City. It's called Falter.
You could have Klingons, and that would be the same anyway, wouldn't it?
About because it's the last show in the series and there's nothing anyone can do to stop them on 1FM.
Really, the BBC couldn't afford to send anyone out into space.
Unless it was Jennifer Saunders, in which case they'd pay for her to go into space, have a free holiday, and film a bit of Absolutely Fabulous that she hadn't written a script for, just sort of wandering around improvising.
No, that wasn't space, that was Morocco.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin Salem on 1FM. It's me, Stu, and Rich are here. Yeah, that's Kevin Salem from his second solo album. I've been trying to get his first solo album for years, and I can never find it. But I reckon if I make a tape of the fact that I've just played that on national radio and send it to them, they might give me one.
You never know.
It's just one of the many perks
of being on radio.
One of the four perks that there are.
Tape off. It's going to be a mischievous show tonight because it's our last one of the series. We're going to be a bit cheeky. We've got Kevin Eldon here. Hi, Kev.
Hi, look, talking about Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
Now, when I was a kid, my family lived next door to a Canadian woman who was William Shatner's auntie.
Oh, really?
No.
Right,
and we've got Rebecca Front's back for the final show. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
TV's Rebecca Front, everyone.
There's film now, actually.
What?
I've moved on to film.
Oh, well, have you? Well done.
Yeah.
I'm really pleased for you, Rebecca. And Peter is here. How are you? What are you going to be talking about today, Pete?
Well, as it's like Valentine's Day tomorrow, I thought of some things you can do if you haven't got a Valentine or ever will.
Yeah, yeah.
But want to sort of, like, imagine...
Stop there for a minute, Pete, because as it is Valentine's Day tomorrow, we've got a bit... First of our surprises for you tonight.
What's that?
Well, Pete, you're nearly 32 right now. Yeah. And you're still a virgin, as all the listeners know. And we're fed up with you following us around all the time and being our embarrassing friend.
Yeah.
So we have decided here that it is high time that you got yourself a girlfriend.
Come on in, Anne.
Hello.
What?
See, in short, Pete, we've fixed you up with a date, mate.
Hello.
Go on then, Pete, get in there. Romance. Go on, get in there, my son. Go on. Nice. Go on.
Hello there.
Hello. I'm Anne. I'm Freddo.
Oh.
Like the Freddo the Frog chocolate bar, except that I'm not made of chocolate. I'm made of sort of meat and eyes and some hair.
Oh, that's nice.
There we go. Well, let's get on with that.
You'll be with us tonight. Last week, you remember we had a Tom Johnson competition where we asked you to predict what Tom Johnson's predictable cartoon was going to be in the News of the World.
No one got anywhere near, I'm afraid.
Eamon Ford sent in a good one, though. Eamon Ford picked up the story of Des Barnes, the Coronation Street actor, visiting prostitutes and drew a Tom Johnson-style cartoon based around the idea of Prostitution Street, which was quite good.
Rovers Return, House of Ill Repute. And also, of course, the winning one was the real one. Was Bob Geldof, I Don't Like Sundays, he was saying. Tom Johnson's hilarious there, changing. And, actually, I think we've got a call on the line connected with that. Who's on the line?
Yeah, hello?
Hello?
Yeah, this is Michael Watkinson for the group Inks.
In excess,
yeah, hi.
Yeah, Inks, how you doing?
I'm all good. Right. What's been going on with you, then?
Yeah, let's get the story straight. You were going out with Helena Christensen, the supermodel.
That's right.
And you've got rid of her to go out with Paulie Yates, yeah?
Yeah, I got for that with Helena, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've got to move on. Basically, you know, I'm like a tomcat in the street in that I've got an eye infection.
Right.
Right,
true. Aren't you Australian, Mike? We don't sound...
Yes. It's right to cover. Yes, anyway, what? Sorry. Oh, I've got
get
to...
Get off.
Well, some man there, there. Michael Hutchins there, or... Someone pretending to be him for some reason.
No phone in this week, though. Good reason for that.
No, because, of course, and then this morning, this week, Richard Madeley was... Someone rang up. A terrible thing to do. They rang up and said, you know, steal us a bottle of wine. That's an awful thing to do. Because he hasn't ever shoplifted, has he?
No, he hasn't, no.
No, Stu, he hasn't shoplifted.
What we are hoping to do this week, no phoning. We want to have a campaign, right, to leave confusion and embarrassment spread throughout the world after we leave. And to do that, we're going to employ Lee and Herring's Child Army.
That's
all our listeners. So get a pen and paper ready for the rest of the show, because we need you to take down some addresses and details for some of the crazy stunts we want you all to take part in.
Yeah, and we've been on air now for 6 long weeks, Stu, and we're going to be looking at the way the world has changed, thanks to the Lee and Herring Show.
When the Lee and Herring Show started back in January 1995, the Sun newspaper cost 22 pence. Now it costs 23 pence. What a different place the world is, thanks to Lee and Herring.
This is Shampoo with a brilliant extra track that's on their disappointing new copied off Lou Reed single, Delicious.
I love Shampoo. You know, the thing about them, they seem to get more beautiful the older I get.
This is called Kinky Ken, ironically.
Valentine's Day. This is a special message of love going out to Carrie and Jackie. Stu and me love you. If you want to go out with us, you can. Just ring us up and we'll go out with you.
You'd be so embarrassed if they took you up on that, Rich. You wouldn't know what to do, let's face it.
I would. Got a lot in common.
Like what?
Simon Quinlan talking with my final hobby ever for the Lee and Herring show, which you are listening to. As you will know, I am the best person at doing hobbies in the world, better than Neil Petarch and better than you will ever be. You will have listened to my hobbies with wonder at how anyone could do so many hobbies the best as me. And although you will never do any hobbies as well as me, as they are too difficult for you, it must be nice for you to hear about them and dream. But here's a hobby even you could do quite well. What you will need for this hobby...
A crayon and or piece of charcoal and a piece of paper.
A tape recorder and tape.
An elastic band.
A flask of weak lemon drink.
And this edition of Simon Quinlan's Hobby going out on Radio 1 FM on the 13th of February 1995.
This hobby is a good hobby if you are interested in the truth about who is the best at doing hobbies. It is good even if you aren't interested in the truth about who is the best at doing hobbies, as it is an absolute truth, and anyone who disagrees about that is wrong and stupid. This hobby is called the Proving Simon Quinlan is the King of Hobbies hobby. And here is how to do it. Do as I, Simon Quinlan, say. First, use your tape recorder and tape to take what I am saying now off of the radio. If you have not begun recording yet, do it immediately, as you will need the next thing I say to be able to do the hobby. I am Simon Quinlan, the Lord God of Hobbies. Look upon my wonders and despair. That was the thing you will need. Then, take your crayon and or charcoal and draw a life-size picture of my face on the paper. If you do not know what I look like, I have brown hair. Attach the elastic band to the paper and you will have a life-size mask of my face, NB. If you are me, you do not need to make a mask as your face will already be my face. After you have done my command, do my next command with the obedience that is due to me. Unless you are stupid, you will be able to put on the mask I have described. Drink your weak lemon drink now, quickly! Weak lemon drinks my blood. Drink it in remembrance of me. Have you drunk it yet? Answer me! Good, then we will proceed. Go out into the street with your tape recorder dressed as me and wearing my wondrous face mask on your stupid face, and whenever you see a passerby, play the tape of me saying, I am Simon Quinlan, the Lord God of Hobbies, look upon my wonders in despair, like this.
I am Simon Quinlan, the Lord God of Hobbies. Look upon
you must use the tape for the first time
despair.
I said that, not the tape of me saying
Simon
it just then, or it does not count. Do this as many times as you can. This hobby is a good hobby because after you have done it, you can feel quite good. Although you will never be the best at this hobby, as I am the best. You can take satisfaction in knowing that your hobby will have helped prove how good I, and in turn the world of hobby is. So you have helped yourself too, although me mainly, obviously, is right and proper. I can ask no more of you all than that you do your hobbies as best you can, but do them! Now, go forth and hobby.
I am Simon Quinlan, the Lord God of Hobbies. Look upon my wonders and despair!
When the Lee and Herring Show started in January, builder Fred West had been dead for only 8 days. Now he's been dead for 44 days. What a different place the world is, thanks to Lee and Herring.
Great. All right, Pete, how's it going with Anne? All right.
Good, I think.
Yeah. What?
Have you seen Tron? It's like with the men going... It's about 1983, the men go in a computer and drive round in motorbikes and turn at right angles.
No.
It's 14 minutes past nine here. It's failed.
And 35 seconds. Yeah. They're well very done, similar, though, aren't they? I think well they might get on very well, those two.
Yeah.
Well done, Pete. Keep it up.
First bit of... we're talking
well.
About little bits of terrorism for the Child Army. This week we were sent a postcard by Sue from Cambridge. She sent us a postcard of an elderly, glasses-wearing, cheese-faced man who is
nice.
A broadcaster for local radio in Cambridge called Christopher South.
Yeah.
Right?
And what we'd like to happen with this, that for no reason, it's just a random act of terrorism, we want to make this old local radio broadcaster think he has a lot of young fans, so we want to imagine his sort of confused East Anglian face as he opens a post bag, suddenly inexplicably bursting with teenage fan mail from all over the country.
Yeah, here's something to do. Why not join an international Christopher South letter writing event?
There's
right?
no reason.
No, simply send a fan letter to Radio Cambridge broadcaster Christopher South at BBC Radio Cambridge. And what you've got to do, you've got to say how you think he is a brilliant broadcaster and could you have a signed photo of him.
But it's important that you don't tell him that you're writing as part of an event and you mustn't say anything rude. It's a very serious thing. Just write to him saying he's the best local radio broadcaster you know and you're a big fan of his talking voice and would love a signed photo.
For his, for your wall or something. Now, get him to send a photo to you, right? Ask him to sign it. Laugh at his face, at his Cornish face. This means astonished. It's a word we're trying to popularise. And then send the photo to us, right? Because we're going for a world record on this. Send it right to us.
We want to have the most pictures of Christopher South signed photos that are in existence. Yeah. Even if you don't regularly write to us, please do this, everyone. Get out your pens now and do it. Write the letter. Then when you get the photo through, send it to us.
Yeah, and you've got to send it to us, and we're going for a sort of record of that. And when we've got all the Christopher South pictures sent back to us, we're going to put them in a tombola, and the winning one will receive £20.
So send those letters, first of all, to Christopher South, care of BBC Radio Cambridge, Cambridge, Cambridshire. And when you get the photo and reply, send it to us at...
So our new address, which is Fist of Fun, room 3301... BBC TV Centre, Wood Lane, London, W12. Keep it a secret, though.
Yeah, don't tell anyone, and hopefully you'll get a lot of those. Now, the results of our Chew poll are in. This half, we're going to give you the results of the worst Chew in Britain. The second worst Chew in Britain was the Roy of the Rovers Bar, but there's been some amazing voting this week, and the worst Chew in Britain is officially the Wham Bar. This is made by McCowan's. Earlier today, I called up to speak to McCowan's, the makers of Wham, to tell them the bad news.
Good afternoon, McCowan's.
Hello, is that McCowan's Chew Bars there?
Yes.
Yeah, hi. Could I speak to whoever's in charge of the Chews, please?
Right, if you like to hold on, thanks.
Hello.
Hello, who am I talking to?
Aidan Craig.
Aidan Craig. Hi, yeah. This is Richard Herring from the Lee and Herring Show on 1FM.
Yes.
I don't know if you listen to the show.
No, I'm a bit old.
Hey, oh, never mind. Over the last 6 weeks, we've been polling our listeners on what their best and worst Chew bars in the country are.
Yes.
And I'm sorry I have to tell you that the Wham bar, which you make, has been voted the worst Chew bar in Britain today by Radio 1 listeners.
Why?
Well, two of the reasons were there are not enough sparkly bits like there used to be in it.
Yeah.
And another reason is that the paper sticks to the chew. That's two of the reasons.
I'm amazed by that.
Are you? Are you going to carry on making the Wham Bar now?
Oh, yes. It's one of our best. It's our biggest line. Yeah.
Is it? Yeah.
It's very disappointing to hear that.
You sound very disappointed. I feel heartbroken to have to tell you it.
We're staggered. I mean, the seals are still ripping ahead, so we're quite surprised by that.
What's your position at McCowan?
I'm the MD.
Are you?
Yes.
Come on, then. Give us the reason why Wham Bar is good.
Wham Bar is, natural colours, natural flavours.
What, pink and yellow?
Absolutely.
They're not natural.
Absolutely.
It's from space, surely.
We don't use any artificial colours in anything at all.
Yeah.
We can't understand why they're talking about the sparkly bits, because, in fact, we've actually increased the sparkly bits.
Have you? Maybe it's just memory playing tricks on us all.
Absolutely.
Is there any chance of you sending us some free Wham Bars to send out to our listeners who voted?
First of all.
So, great. All right, thanks very much, Aidan.
Nice to talk
to break the bad news to you.
That's all right.
See ya. Bye.
That's tragic, that was.
It was terrible, shame. Because Wham isn't the worst. Roy the Rovers is.
Yeah.
I think Wham's nice. But anyway, we've got some free Wham bars out of it, so it's not all bad.
This is What's the Frequency, Kenneth, the first single off the new REM LP. When I first heard this, I trembled with delight and expectation, but then the album was rubbish. What a waste of time.
Is short for Something I Expect.
Pop fact, Michael's Stipe is an anagram of something amusing and apt, I expect.
REM are degrading their spotless legacy.
Top fact, that Kenneth mentioned in this song is the Dallas star Ken Kirchable.
Pop fact, Mike Mills from REM looks a bit like Trevor Horn from the Buggles.
Trevor Horn of the Buggles had a mild attack of eczema in 1972. He's all right.
Pop fact, REM producer Mitch East
sister is allergic to bananas.
Quinlack pop fact. One FM DJ and comedian Stuart Lee saw R.E.M. in Coventry 11 years ago before any of you liked them, making him the best at the liking R.E.M. hobby after me. And even we don't like their new album.
Pop fact. The new R.E.M. album is so disappointing that when Rich and Stu were driving around in Stu's car listening to it, Rich said, "Oh, this band sounds a bit like R.E.M., but not as good." And that's true.
Bill Berry likes eating cheese, but not Dairy Lee. He's choose that with disdain.
Pop fact. This record can easily be spoilt by someone talking in all the gaps.
These pop facts aren't very good, but come on, here's the last week.
Pop fact. The producer of our TV series, Sarah Smith, thought R.E.M. were called REM.
They're being spoilt, and lots of our listeners seem to like R.E.M. Paul Kelly and Roy Harrison will be at the Milton Keynes gig, and I'll be at Wembley on the Tuesday, patronising younger fans with my superior knowledge and fables of the Reconstruction T-shirt. 6 hours I queued for tickets, and I've got my own radio show.
And now, Roger Mann, Europe's scariest man.
How?
I believe it was I who once wrote, "Age, you stealthy beast, steal not upon me your mine." Had I known with what force these words would whiplash back into my face, I would have taken a blade to my wrist sooner than pen them. I had been visiting my parents for afternoon tea. The conversation had been of a light and general nature. I had posited the notion that the word cravat was an Anglo-French distortion of Croat or Croatia, whence this particular style of neckerchief had originally come, and how ironic it was that we were now sending our clothes to them. The topic failed to inspire any response from my parents, but they listened generously enough, and with some pride, I thought. I was warming to my theme when I realized I had drunk so much tea that my bladder had ballooned out like a frog's neck. And I excused myself to attend to what that arch-poet Spencer once referred to as the yellows. I was gone but 2 minutes. But when I returned, oh, horror. And I next looked at my mother, I saw that that rude ogre Age had indeed thrust himself upon her. And with what vengeance! A transformation had occurred in her which sent my blood cold like a frozen cake. I was rooted to the spot as though someone had pierced my foot with a stick of sharply honed bamboo. I saw that her face, once as smooth and flawless as her gravy, was now pitted and harsh. Her hair lacked all luster and was grey and wispy. And where once she had borne herself so proudly, she now stooped at the shoulders like an old sock or a seahorse. This woman who had fed me when I was hungry, clothed me when I was naked, sponged me when I was tacky. In short, this beautiful woman who had brought me into the world was now nothing more than a wizened old walnut face. As I dwelt upon the horrors of aging, the awful truth dawned upon me. While I had been out of the room, my parents had swapped seats.
When the Lee and Herring Show started in January, there wasn't a single picture of Queen's Brian May made entirely of sweets. But now, thanks to Joe and Kate of High Wycombe, there is one picture of Queen's Brian May made entirely of sweets. What a different place the world is, thanks to Lee and Herring.
It's Star Trek week, and this is Leonard Nimoy, Spock.
From far beyond the galaxies, I've journeyed to this place to study the behavior patterns of the human race. And I find them highly illogical.
It's highly illogical, a Vulcan social satire of the planet Earth.
Girl meets boy. They fall in love. She says he's everything she's dreamed of. But when they get married, before he's aware, she changes his habits, the way he combs his hair. She changes him to someone he's never been, and then complains he's not like other men. Now, really, I find this most illogical.
Do you think that's based on Leonard Nimoy's personal experience, Duke?
Could be. Sounds very bitter.
Take the case of your automobiles. Greatest invention since man discovered wheels. Hydromatic overdrive, floor on the floor. Push-button windows, push-button doors. Double-barrel carburetors rush you any place, but you never can find a parking space. Highly illogical. Take the case of modern man. He works all his life, gives it all he can, saves all his money, works overtime, pinches every penny, banks every dime. All he can think about is money, but you know that he can't take it with him where he's going to go. Now I find that fascinatingly illogical. Now is the time to journey home to tell of what I've learned. My people, I believe, have every right to be concerned. For in spite of computers and advanced psychology, behavior patterns are still a mystery. I predict the future of this earthly human race is that having made a mess of Earth, they'll move to outer space. Well, there goes the neighborhood. Totally, completely, absolutely, irrevocably, highly illogical.
Yeah, Leonard Nimoy there, the Rory Bremner of outer space.
Better than being Stephen Fry, he was the Rory Bremner of planet Earth. I don't know if you've seen
did you his. Enjoy the show last
no,
night?
I thought it was the worst programme I've ever seen.
What, that wonderful parody of the sun they did?
Awful.
They're marvellous people. Yeah. How are you getting on, Pete and Anne, anyway?
You're from Balham?
Yeah, how do you know?
I saw you the other day. I was just behind the bottle bank on Station Terrace, looking inside at the bottles, and then I looked up and you were just standing there with your bag. But then that man, you know, who wears a jacket over his bare chest and always stands on the traffic island shouting and drinking super malt, and he came along, so you went away. You've got nice forearms. Well, one of them, anyway.
Oh. Do you like space?
I quite like it, yeah. I once saw a film about a man from space called Mac and Me. It was like a cheap version of E.T. that's only on video, but I got frightened.
Oh, sorry, I don't like frightening things. No. I don't like this soft mints advert, no. You know, where that sort of man with like a pillow face is walking along the road. And everything's like soft and moving around, yeah. So, sorry.
So, what do you like?
Whale On, you know, with James Whale and Jerry Hayes and Baz Bamigboy. He's my favourite, yeah, I like that. Mm. And I like the smell of brand new electrical things. That's it, really.
So, shall we be some Valentines?
Yeah. What do we do?
Don't know.
Good, well, that's Anne and Pete there.
If you, well,
one of our things to do is to write into Just 17 or a similar girls' magazine saying you've got a crush on Peter from The Lee and Herring Show and see if they've got any advice and all your friends are mocking you.
We've been to see what that is. Yeah, do that.
Any of those girls' magazines. We don't read any of them.
Now it's time for the news with Tom Field on.